Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September evenings. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, by now you've surely noticed that the daylight hours are getting shorter. Back in July, the change was oh so subtle, but now we're losing a couple of minutes of sun each day, more so if you live farther north. So it's with mixed emotions that I tell you that the equinox falls on September 22nd at 4:44 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On this date, the sun momentarily shines directly down on Earth's equator as it heads south in declination. Equinox comes from the Latin word equinoctium, meaning equal nights. Days and nights everywhere are both 12 hours long, and the sun rises due east and sets due west no matter where you are. This month, the full moon occurs on the 19th, just 3 days before the equinox. So this will be our harvest moon for the year. It's called that because, at this time of year, the nearly full moon rises only about a half hour later each succeeding evening, as opposed to the usual 50 minutes. It has to do with the shallow slant of the moon's orbit with respect to the horizon. Anyway, this geometry gives farmers a little extra late evening light for harvesting their crops. Hence the name Harvest Moon. The full moon is nice, but there's plenty more to see in the sky, and September brings some of the best stargazing weather of the year. You might have noticed a really bright star lingering over the southwestern horizon for the past few weeks. That's the planet Venus, which outshines any other star or planet in the nighttime sky. Here's an odd thing. Even though Venus has been edging gradually farther from the sun since April, it stayed down pretty low. It's got to do with orbital geometry. At the best of times, Venus can appear halfway from the horizon to overhead, but that won't be the case this year. So if you're having trouble seeing it, seek out a spot with a clearer view toward west. Despite its lowly positioning, Venus is going to have a busy month. On the 5th and 6th, it shines just a couple of degrees above the star Spica, some folks say Spica, which is about to disappear from evening view until early next year. 2 nights later, on September 8th, there's a spectacular pairing of Venus and a thin crescent moon. The two will be just 1.5 degrees apart. Your outstretched index finger should fit just between them. Trust me, you'll want the camera out for this one. Keep your eye on somewhat dimmer Saturn, which is to the upper left of Venus by about 1.5 times the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. The two planets edge closer together until, on the 16th, Venus and Saturn form a vertical pairing about 4 degrees apart. Just lovely. Summer might be ending astronomically, but most of summer's stars can still be seen. Topping the list is the trio of bright stars collectively called the Summer Triangle. Finding them is easy, even if your backyard is hopelessly awash with light pollution. Lift your gaze up, way up, to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega. It's in the constellation Lyra, the Lyre, and it's relatively close by as stars go, just 25 light-years away. Astronomers gauge a star's brightness by a number called its magnitude, and Vega is an important star in this scheme. Some 2,100 years ago, an ancient Greek astronomer named Hipparchus decided to create a method for organizing stars according to their brightness. He called the most luminous ones stars of the first magnitude, and fainter ones were ranked second, third, fourth, fifth, kind of like a contest. The ones that were sixth marked the limit of visibility with the eye. Hipparchus picked Vega as his anchor star. Modern astronomers have assigned Vega the magnitude of 0.00. Now it turns out that 4 other nighttime stars are brighter than Vega, so they have negative magnitudes. One of them is in the evening sky during September, and I'll reveal its identity in a moment, but look around yourself to see if you can figure out which one it is. If you're looking up at Vega, you should also be seeing the other 2 corners of the Summer Triangle. One is to the south of Vega, by about 3 times the width of your fist. That's Altair, the main star in the constellation of Aquila, the Eagle. The third star is about 2 fists from Vega toward east. That star is called Deneb, a westernized version of the Arabic phrase for hen's tail. Deneb does mark the tail of a bird, but it's a graceful swan, the constellation Cygnus. The swan's head, a star called Albireo, is about midway between Vega and Altair. And in between Deneb and Albireo are a row of three stars that mark the swan's body and wings. If you're able to get away from city lights and out under a really dark moonless sky, you'll see that the swan is gliding right down the middle of the Milky Way's softly glowing river of starlight. So that's the summer triangle. As the weeks go by, this easy-to-spot trio will gradually migrate westward in the sky. It'll stay with us for a few more months before sinking out of sight in the west. This month we're going to spend some time exploring the southern sky. So let's return to Altair, which is easy to spot and roughly midway from overhead down to the southern horizon. If you keep lowering your gaze, you might still be able to spot a collection of stars known as the teapot. It's about the size of your fist. Four stars define the pot itself, a couple more make a handle toward upper left, another star to the upper right is the top of its pointy lid, and the spout is at lower right. Look about a fist to the upper left of Altair and try to spot a tight grouping of medium bright stars that might remind you of a small kite with a tail hanging from it. This is Delphinus, a little dolphin leaping upward out of the starry sea. It's my wife's favorite constellation. Now look below Delphinus along the horizon to the left of the teapot. Depending on how much light pollution you have, you'll either see a few dim stars or maybe none at all. This is the realm of Capricornus, the sea goat. To its upper left is another dim, nondescript constellation, Aquarius, the water carrier. There's really not much going on here, but I've mentioned them because they're two of the 12 constellations of the zodiac, the ones that lie along the sun's path among the stars. In 6 months, this is the celestial real estate that the sun will be crossing. You can see that Capricornus and Aquarius aren't very high in the sky, right? And neither will the sun be when it's passing this way in February. Okay, time's up. Have you found the star that's brighter than Vega? Well, if you look west, well to the upper right of where the sun set, there's a star that looks just about as bright as Vega. That's Arcturus, and technically it does outshine Vega, but only by 7%. Actually, Vega probably looks like the brighter of the two, both because it's overhead, where there's the least haze, and because Arcturus is slightly reddish. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend a little more time with the Lyre, Eagle, and Swan, and explore the myths and legends surrounding them. Until then, I wish you clear skies.